God bless you, saints. God bless you, saints. I welcome you to this brief exhortation. But first, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Brother Matthew Kesh from LOCA Nairobi, Tororo. And today I would like to speak on the subject, the difference must be in forgiveness. The difference must be in forgiveness between you when you were young and now grown. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew 5, shall begin from 43, and we shall read all the way to 48. From 43 it says, "You have heard that he has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Glory be to God. I would also like to read from St. Mark 11 and I begin from 22. It says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall receive them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." I would also like to turn to St. Matthew 18 and then shall read 21 and 22. It says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft should my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until 7 times? I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And finally, we shall go to Ephesians, beginning from 30, read 31 and 32 inclusive. From 30 it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. So just for a few moments tonight, I would like to speak on brotherly kindness, which is forgiveness, forgiving for Christ's sake. Why do we have to forgive? Because faith is based on forgiveness. So to get faith, we ought to forgive. We ought to drop every ought. See? You need a healing of your body? Forgive. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of the living God. The Bible says that when you stand praying, forgive, so that your heavenly Father may also forgive you your trespasses. Now see? That is the key. Brotherly kindness, forgiveness, and that's the secret. Do you see how important brotherly kindness is? Do you see how the devil has the church bound? The secret is laying in forgiveness. And the Bible says, when you stand praying, forgive your brother, forgive him. If you have an oath, you got a grievance, you might be right. Your brother might have wronged you, sure. But the Bible says, forgive him. Otherwise, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you either. And the devil wants to keep it that way, because he knows that your healing is based on that. Faith is based on forgiveness. And so the devil knows that if he can keep you away from forgiveness, then he can keep you away from your healing. He can keep you away from your perfection. He can keep you away from every promise that God has laid down for you in the Bible. Glory be to God. So what a revelation that is. And on some have compassion, but you don't understand, brother. He did the most terrible thing to me. Oh, on some have compassion, but you don't understand. I mean, he did this, he did that. Paul said, be you kind-hearted one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So Jesus Christ said that the devil can't find no place in me. That is Christ. If them seven thunders is in you, if that Christ is in you, no devil can get in, because faith will kick him out. Hallelujah. So we can bind those devils and we can lose them as well. We can bind them by the word, amen, forgiveness. The Bible says that if you have an oath, if a brother has done something to you and you're positively, absolutely right, forgive him. Did you get that? You are to forgive when he has done something to you. So you forgive him even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So when, because we knew that when we were sinners and was dead wrong, cursing Christ, taking his name in vain, committing fornication, lying, all kind of things, God for Christ's sake forgave us. So for Christ's sake, we forgive also. If you can't forgive for your own sake, die to yourself and forgive for Christ's sake. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul said, lest Satan should take an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And now, there is where Paul exposes him. The word devices mean thoughts. We are not ignorant of Satan's thoughts. He puts thought in our mind against our brother. We are not ignorant of that. Praise be to God. And we have the word for the age. The word for the age is brotherly kindness. In the very age when it says that the love of many would wax cold, there will be no love. There is no love nowhere in the world. But through brotherly kindness, we defeat Satan. Now you see how brotherly kindness shakes the devil's kingdom and shakes the devil. It tears down his kingdom of jealousy and hate. Glory be to God. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual favorite prayers of righteous man availeth much. So I would like to wrap up with this. You know, Jehovah is the name of power. Power to live a holy life. Power to overcome yourself. Power to say, please forgive me. Power to say, I am sorry. Hallelujah. Power to create everything that Adam had. He's going to restore back to the bride. Brother, I don't know what your enemy's done to you. You're going to forgive. Because when Jehovah is veiling you, Jehovah is going to be brotherly kindness in you. Jehovah will be, I forgive you. Praise be to the living God. Jehovah will only be in the bride. The others will not be able to forgive. They will hold grudges against you. They will hold oath against you, but Jehovah will only be in the bride. You are going to forgive your worst enemy. It doesn't matter what they called you. It doesn't matter what they did to you. They spit on you, they lied on you, but you're going to forgive them. because you are going to be positionally placed in brother kindness. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Praise be to the name of the Lord. You talk about power, we haven't seen power yet. When Moses went down to Egypt, he asked God, "What should I tell them? What should I tell them sent me?" He said, "I am that I am. I am whatever you need. You need the healing, I am that I am." Glory be to the name of the Lord. So brother, you're only picking up your spirit that you had back there. You already had the Holy Ghost back in God's mind. And if God had spoken you, you would have come forth in your theophany. But what did God do? God took the seed that was in the thought of Elohim and put it in your flesh. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And what is God waiting?
Read a verse out of the Bible and just talk to you from my heart for about 10 minutes. I'll sit by your way. See. Before I talk to the kids, I'd just like to talk to the adults just a minute, the two, all of you. It's been on perhaps maybe a strenuous trip. It's been, but the experience that I've learned from God, I wouldn't take $10,000 for what I learned of the Lord since I've been here. I truly believe I come in full obedience to the command of the Almighty. And I hope I can ever remain that way. And there's when I come, one thing was by a vision that I was standing above Tucson up here when a blast went off. Well, Brother Fred was there when it went off. And they took a picture, you know, in the sky, and I didn't think much about it. I just never noticed it. So it began to impress me somehow to the day, and Brother Norma's father here told me, said, "Did you notice this?" And just as I looked, right there was that angel, just as plain as they could be, sitting right there in that picture, see. I looked to see what it was, and it's time, same about day or two before, day or two after, I was up there. Now look where it was at, northeast of Flagstaff, or Prescott, which is below Flagstaff. Well, that's just where we was at. Just exactly. 26 miles high, while vapor can't go over four miles high, or five, moisture, any kind of fog or anything, you see. Planes fly 19,000, has to get above all the clouds, you see, and 19,000 is about 4 miles high. And this is 26 miles high and 30 miles across it, and in the shape of the pyramid. If you've looked at the picture. And on the right-hand side, as I told you, I noticed outstanding that angel. There he is, chest out, wings back, coming right in just exactly the way it was. I never noticed it when he first. There'd been so many things. And coming down the road the other day, there was something happened that spoke to me about the thing that I must do. And it's not my message. One time, Leo Mercer said, "Brother Branham, the time will come after this," said about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 7, said, "the Lord go change your ministry, Brother Branham." And said, "When he does," said, "you'll probably just line up hospitals and speak them out of the beds and things." It didn't sound right, although I believe Brother Leo was trying to be sincere about it. But it didn't sound just right because, see, our Lord Jesus never did that. See? And he went into the hospitals. There was one in that hospital. Do you remember where it was at in the Bible? The Pool of Bethesda. Great multitudes of important people laid there, crippled, lame, blind, withered, waiting for the angel. Now that was in a spiritual hospital where people waited on divine healing. And here the divine healer himself came in and healed one and walked out. So you couldn't expect a mortal man or a ministry to come forth to be any greater than that was. I couldn't agree with it. But as I started to turn around, the Holy Spirit come upon me. I asked Leo for a pen. I got a piece of paper and I wrote it. It's in his trailer today, if you ever up where it's at. It's that old aluminum trailer where I had the loading outfit. Just as you go in the door, the shelf on the right-hand side, right in front of the trailer, it's laying under there. I laid that there. I said, "Someday you can pull this out." God will never change the ministry, but he'll change the man with the ministry. That's what's to be done. See, I know what I've got to do, but I can't do it. in the condition that I am now, because I've got to, something's got to happen within me that'll take God to do it. We're aiming to go back home. Kids are homesick. All of them want to go back. So I'm figuring on taking them back, Lord willing, maybe after service Saturday. And go back. From there, I don't know. But I know as soon as that something happens within me to make me feel towards people different from what I do now, I'd rejected the people, see? And I didn't want to have no more to do with them. You know what I mean? What I call Ricky and Ricketta. They had, the things that they had did, I'd preached with all the sincerity and God had confirmed it in every way. And if they didn't want to believe it, well, let them alone then. I was going up to join up with Bud this coming fall. Start outfitting up there. Wait in the wilderness. Let my hair and beards grow out. And if the Lord wanted me to go anywhere, He'd send me a word and I'd go down and do it. But on the road coming in the other day, He stopped me. And I seen where what I was coming to. I'm on my road to something else now. And I thought when I got home, I'd make what we call a heart-to-heart talk. Maybe put it on tape. And then, and so that the public would see why the sudden change. Now, you kids, let's have a little word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for this time to know that we're assembled here, the young and old, and the middle-aged. And we have assembled this side of eternity once more to speak about You and about the things that pertains to everlasting life. These young ones sitting in here tonight, some of them are graduating, some has already graduated. But I realized, Lord, something had happened just a few hours before that great shock or a great blast had taken place in the mountain up there north of Tucson when the angels of the Lord came down. I remember what was said, and especially about the young people. I pray Thee, Lord, help us to understand, and may I be able to say something to these young folks tonight that'll help them along the journey. For Lord, we all need that help at this time. Bless us together, forgive our sins, and if anything that we've done since we've been out here that's displeased You, we pray You forgive us for it. For we realize today that we have no guarantee of tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We must be prepared today to meet tomorrow. And Father God, there's only one way that we know to do this, that's to prepare to see You. For by and by we realize that we are all going to do it. And we've got to meet it sometime. Either in peace, as a friend, or child, or as an enemy. Far be it, Lord, that we be anything else but Your own beloved children. Grant these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, while I was chopping weeds real early this morning, I found a place in the Bible I thought would be a good thing to read at this time. And it may not be too dashing appropriate, but I thought this for just a few minutes to talk. I'm going to read this out of the 18th chapter of St. Luke. All four gospel writers write of it. The 18th chapter and the 18th verse. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. He said, All these have I done, and kept them from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, He said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor. Thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come, follow me. I think the word "come follow me," that'd be the best advice I could give if I was talking to 10,000 kids or if I was talking to just what I am. It's a command and the greatest thing that I think that was ever offered anybody, and especially a young person. Follow me. You're going to follow somebody. You can remember that. You're going to follow somebody. And the way you follow the person, be sure that who this person's following. See? Paul one time said, "Be followers of me as I am of Christ." In other words, just as I follow Christ, you follow me. And now, at this turning point, this stage of life where we all come, and many times you've heard me holler, "Ricky, Ricketta," and things, it's the age that we're living in. It really isn't those people. Those people are people like we are. Those kids out here, these hot rods running up down the street and carrying on the way they are, smoking cigarettes and drinking liquor, and girls dressed immorally and things, them's girls and boys like we are. See? They're human. They love, they eat, they drink, they sleep, they breathe, they gotta die. They're people just like we are. And yet they have been they've been possessed of an evil spirit. They don't know it. Not because of the people, but because sometimes some leader that they've been following have led them in the wrong road. Now you girls and boys know better than that. You know, you've been taught better than that. You've got better parents, sounder training than to do a thing like that. You know better. But they don't, see, because the churches that they go to are modern churches, modernistic, and they just live for the day, more popular, and oh my, what's the morals become virtue to them, see? So what is said one time in a play that I seen down here not long ago of Sodom and Gomorrah, that evil possessed woman said to Lot, "What you call immoral, I call virtue." Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man." So we're back to that place again. Let's look at this fellow for a few minutes that we read about. No doubt that this kid was born in a good home, like you kids are. He was brought up with good parents, because it proved it. When Jesus presented to him the commandments of God, he said, "I've kept these since a youth." It showed that he'd been brought up right. He wasn't just a snatch out, and you know, he had been brought up to know what's right. Kids like you all are. Probably come up under a God-fearing mother and daddy to teach him right when he was a kid. Well, that's good. Maybe as a little baby, his mother had high ambitions of him being a great man someday. His father's worth money that could school him and get him an education that he'd come out with a good education and be able to be something in the world. And with the sincerity of this mother and dad educating this kid, and perhaps come to his graduation time like you are, see, the time when he passed through his school and had his education. No doubt it perhaps was a pride and joy of that mother and daddy's life. No doubt in them days he had a fine horses like you have automobiles. And a good dad and mother like you all have got that sees to each. You got good clothes and a car and can just enjoy life. Just something like you have today. And a father and mother with the praying constantly that their son would not turn out just an ordinary man, that he'd be an extraordinary man. All parents want that. Did you hear Jesus refer to that commandment? Honor the father and mother and stop. And that's the ambition of any parent, to do the best for their children they can. Educate them. Give them things maybe that they wasn't able to get. That's what I feel about my children. I think sometime in going to school, I think send Becky and Sarah and Joseph into these high schools and things where all this go-on's at. I think I'll take them and get back into the mountain and raise them up there like the Indians live. But here's what it is. What's in the kid's going to come out. No matter where it is, it's going to come out. If it's evil in there, it'll come out in the Indian camp. If it's good in there, it'll come out in any camp. See? It's what's in the kid, the makeup of the kid. What's on the inside of you. And what you are now is what you'll probably be the rest of your life. You're on the changing spot. Do you know what? 86% of the conversions to Jesus Christ is done before 21 years old. Show the statistics shows it. 86% that come to Christ come before they're 21. If you pass that age, you become more molded or set in your ways. Oh, it's possible, sure, they come 70, 80 years old, but it's very rare. You make yourself when you're young. You set your ambitions to what you want to do and what you're trying to achieve in life. You think of it. And as you think, of course, your mind is presented into your mind by an unknown something that dominates your mind. And then when it becomes in your mind, then you speak it that you're going to do it, and your ambitions drive you to it. So mother and father expecting this young man to, his ambitions to be great, enough money to carry it out. And then no doubt prayed that this young lad would get that opportunity. You see, they had done all they could do. He'd maybe have him find horses, and maybe he's very popular amongst the women, and if what would go for a man would be for a woman, vice versa. See? Because we're talking about human life, souls, both men and women. And then, after all this opportunity the boy had, see, he become on Easy Street, we call it. On a place where he didn't have to worry about too much. His parents had money. He become a ruler. The Bible refers to it here as a young, rich young ruler. And we see he at a young age, maybe in his teenage, just out of school, just out of graduation, maybe a few weeks before or something, he's a ruler. And he had all that hearts could desire. And the boy wasn't no modern Ricky. He's a fine kid. I believe when Luke wrote about it, or Mark, I believe it was, Jesus looked at him and sighed because he loved him. There's something about the kid. There's a nice personality hooked with this kid. Where'd he come from? I have a nice family who had taught him the commandments of God and seen that he kept them. And he did it from his youth up. And the boy had an ambition. He wanted eternal life. He said, good master, what could I do to inherit eternal life? See, with all you got in the world, yet the soul on the inside of you tells you there's something that you need, that you haven't got, just by wealth, or it always had to be wealth. It could be pop or some pretty girl. She's got her beauty that she can think of. Maybe she's very popular in school. Maybe the boy can get any girl he wants. He feels that he's kind of secured. That's not security. That'll fade just like the flower in the field. See? It'll go. Won't be long. Just a few turns of sun, that's gone. Then you've got a soul that has to live eternally. And this young kid must have had a nice personality, because he presented himself to the Lord Jesus, knowing he bowed upon his knee. He said, good master, what could I do to have eternal life? He said, what do you call me good? He said, well, you know there's only one good, and that's God. See, what did the young man express in this? That he was God. He said, thou knowest the commandments, keep them. He said, what commandments, master? He said, the commandments of honor the father and mother and so forth. He said, this I've done from youth up. See, I've did this. He said, yet you're lacking one thing. Go sell what you have and distribute to the poor and follow me. What an opportunity. That could have been Peter, James, or John, one of them. See, the kid had been trained and brought up right and been presented to Christ to use him and all the potential that he had in him to use, probably educated, young, rich, influence, where he could have presented the gospel and yet turned it down. What a rational thing that was for that young boy. See? Follow me. Now see, he had to follow someone. Now he had to either follow the influence of the people he's associated with, the influence of some young lady, some influence of a gang of boys that he was associated with, his colleagues in school, or follow Jesus Christ. In all of his goodness, yet he knew he didn't have eternal life. Kids, that's what you got to think about. See? Now look at the boy tonight. What he could have been and what he is. What he is tonight, he's somewhere. He is a man. He's somewhere. He's waiting a judgment. He's waiting to face the judgment of that day, turning down the same opportunities presented to you kids, almost under the same circumstance. Fine kids, good personality, fine fathers and mothers, what you have, don't even have to work unless you want to. See? But there's something else that goes with that. And something goes with that. That word tonight never dies. It's still a challenge to every young man, every young woman. Follow me. See, words don't die. Whenever you speak anything, just remember, whether it's in your car in the secret, whether it's in the pulpit, whether it's down the street corner with your boyfriend or girlfriend, wherever it is, it never dies. It's got to live forever. And I seen that girl that the other night in the vision, a young, pretty girl, a Hollywood actress, and I seen her dying, reaching, trying to get to help, and she died in a heart attack, Miss Monroe. And then that's been 2 years ago, and I seen her dying. And 2 days later, she did die. And then the other night, I heard that girl's voice. How? The kids have been telling me, Daddy, you go down that river, no return all the time. Said they got a play like that on tonight. They told me a certain night it would be on, a week or two ahead of time. And I thought, well, I want to see that because I've been down that river two or three times. About five times, I think. But I went to see it, and Miss Marilyn Monroe acted that out. Well, that was the girl I saw in the vision. And there she was in picture. And the actions, the very act that she made on the River of No Return, when she took that picture perhaps 15 years ago, it was an old picture, maybe 20 years ago. And she's been dead 2 years, and there she is again alive. Every action and every word. See? It's still so caught in magnetic tape until it's alive again. Not only that, but everything that we say is alive. Every word that we speak cannot die. Coming through the room is words now, forms of people. Television picks it up. You can speak right here and they hear you around the world that same second. Even before you can hear it in this room, it goes around the world by electronic. And God's great screen picks that up. And every move and every act that you make, you've got to meet it at the judgment. See? So, young fella, it's a good thing to stop. Think about these things, see, because you're going to meet it again. See? Let's trace this young man, the opportunity he had, and put yourself in his place. And a girl the same as this, Becky and Marilyn. Just the same as you stand in his place and you can hear that voice which is still alive. It's still alive. It's still moving. Science says in 20 years from now they'll pick up his literal voice that he spoke 2,000 years ago. It's still alive, like a pebble dropping in the ocean. The wave never ceases. It goes to the shore thousands of miles and turns back. When a voice is once spoken to the air like that, it never dies. There ain't nothing you say at the judgment. It's right there. There will be the voice of Jesus Christ bidding that young man, follow me. And him turning away on the screen, sorrowful because he had great possession. See, we might not be, it always has to be money. It can be other things. See, anything we hold dear, then we do that call. See, it becomes lack of money to us. It becomes something that corrupts us. Now, let's follow him a little bit. What happens when he turns away? He didn't listen to that voice of Christ. He went with his friends, which... You kids, you're all fine kids, and you're bound to have friends. But watch what kind of friend you have. If that friend's following Christ, go with that friend. Follow Christ too. But if it don't do it. Let's look at it. We find out he perhaps kept his friends. He became a great ruler. He was a ruler then. Later we find him so prosperous until he had to build extra barns to put his stuff in. And then he said to himself after he got old and the cares of young life and things has passed, all he done maybe was entertain. When an old man or an old woman like me, my wife, your mothers and dad, there isn't hardly anything that they can think of. They don't want to get out and run up and down the streets, you know, as young fellows would and young women. Dates and who's going to be your wife or your husband. See, they don't have that in their mind. They got children. They're interested. That's going to be you all tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow. And see, the fellow then with maybe he never even got married. And however, he was a great ruler. And he set up on, and as is in Jerusalem yet today, they eat on the housetop this time of day when it gets cool out in the evening. And we find another character pictured with him, a beggar. And the man from being raised to honor the neighbor and do unto others as have others to do unto you. See, by rejecting that call of Christ, finally, it looked like a boy had been raised in a home like that, that would never got away from him, but it did. It did. And there laid a man at the gate by the name of Lazarus, begging for food. And vainly he would have eaten the crumbs that he swept off, not even to the beggar, but to the dogs. And was full of sores. But the man had been so polished in society then, he had no more feelings. He'd become numb because he'd rejected that offer of Christ. And maybe one evening this time, making his toast with fine wines and lovely women's jeweled around him and things like that, with all his hearts could desire, and toasting a beggar laying at the gate, and before daylight dawned the next morning, he was in hell screaming for that Lazarus to come put water on his tongue. The change of the scene. And you notice, when he said, Father Abraham. Now, he still remembered that Abraham was the father of the Jews. He said, Father Abraham, send that beggar, Lazarus, down here with a little water on his fingers to put on my lips. These flames are tormenting. And he said, and Abraham said, I can't do that, in so many words. And besides all this, you see, you had your opportunity in life. When did he have it? When Jesus said, follow me. But he turned it down. He went the way that he could make money, and that's all right, nothing wrong with making money. But follow Jesus while you're doing it. See, and he went the other way with the crowd. And you find out, he said, and Abraham said, and besides all this, there's a gulf fixed between you and he that no man has ever crossed over and never will. Them that are there cannot come here, and these here cannot go there. It's been fixed. No man has crossed or will cross. Now listen to him. He wants to be an evangelist then. The call that Jesus had given him to follow him had, and to be a soul winner, as a young man, returned to him again. He remembered it, that he had five brothers and back on earth, and he didn't want them in that place. He said, send Lazarus then back to tell my brothers not to come this way. In other words, accept the call of follow me. But he said, they won't do it. He said, yes, if one would raise from the dead, like Lazarus, and go back and tell him, you see, it shows that after we die, you're still conscious. He remembered. Abraham said, son, remember in your days. See? You still remember. You don't lose your memory. You remember. And the memories that man could have, and still in the same place, remembered the opportunity he had of hearing Jesus say, follow me. But he followed the wrong person, the wrong crowd. He got in the wrong crowd and went to the wrong place. End up in the wrong eternity. Be annihilated at that day from God forever. Jesus also said a great striking word. Though one raised from the dead and go back, yet they would not be persuaded, because they've got Moses and the law. And if they won't hear that, then they won't hear, though one would be raised from the dead, they will not be persuaded. Why? Why did the law speak something like that? Yes. Do to others as you'd have them do unto you, and he had lived under the law. But he let the beggar die at the gate. See? He had lived under the commandments of God and yet failed to see that great eternal life. Kids, each one seem like mine. You each one seem like it's my sons and daughters in one way you are. See? Spiritually speaking. That's right. The Lord God has put your souls into my care. Because you come listen to me, you believe me. See? And in one sense, the words, you are my sons and daughters. That's right. And always remember, keeping the commandments of God is a great thing. Being raised in a good home is a heritage from God. And to be fine kids with personalities as you have, good. Wonderful to have an education. It's wonderful to even live in this free land. We got many things to be thankful for, but there's one thing that you just don't inherit. You've got to accept it. That's eternal life. And you only do that by following Jesus, by a born-again experience. Don't neglect that. A little story one time I heard of a man who was poor, and he always wanted to, it's a little fairy story-like. It always stuck with me, though. And one day he picked a flower, and the flower was magic. And the flower answered to him and said, "You've been poor all your life?" He said, "Now, ask what you will, and it'll be given to you." He said that yonder's mountain would open up, and I could go therein and find the gold in the mountain. Well, he said, "You will have to take me with you wherever you go." See? You'll have to take me with you. So, wherever I am, then you can ask what you will. He walked to the mountain, and the mountain opened up, and he went in, the shells was full of gold and diamonds, as the little fairy story goes. He laid the flower down on a table or a rock, and he run and grabbed a great big gem. And he said, "I must go show this to my friends. And now I'm a rich man. I have everything now. I must show this." And so the flower spoke and said, "You have forgot the main thing." So he runs back and picks up, said, "Well, maybe I'll get a piece of gold. I'll get a piece of silver." And so he said, I'll hurry out to tell the people how rich I am. What all I've got." And he got to the door, and the flower said, "But you forgot the main thing." So he runs back again. He said, "In here we find all kinds of materials." So he picked up a stone. He said, "I'll go take this stone and show the people what kind of a stone this mountain's made out of, so I can find my way back to it." See? And he started out the door, and the flower said, "For the it's final time, you have forgot the main thing." Or he said, "Oh, shut up." See? He didn't want to hear it anymore. Forgot the main thing. And he ran out the door. And when he did, the door closed behind him with the flower on the inside. The main thing was the flower. See? The main thing was the flower. Years ago, as a kid, as you all are, here at a cattle ranch above here, above Phoenix, I was reading a piece of prospect in a paper about a prospector. Then there was no roads through here, then just little sand paths. They still do a lot of prospecting in here, you know. But this prospector had come in and he found a lot of money, and he struck a lot of gold. And on his road in, he stayed in a cabin he'd found, and he had a dog with him. And the dog he tied up on the outside, and that night had been an outlaw following him to get this gold. He'd picked it up from the old Spanish mines. And he was coming in with it, and the dog started barking. And the man didn't want to be bothered by that dog. He said, "Shut up." He said, tomorrow I'll take this into the city, and morals of the story was this, and I'll have it weighed up, and I'll be a rich man, and I'll buy great cars, and I'll have all kinds of women and big parties, and I'll be a rich man, because I've already struck the claim, I've got the gold here, much of it. And said, and while he was trying to go to sleep, the dog kept barking, because the dog seen the outlaw coming up, slipping up, waiting for the prospector to go to sleep. And he raised up again and screamed at the dog again, said, shut up! And the poor dog whined and tried to warn his master. The danger was lurking. And when the next time when the dog started barking, the prospector had a shotgun. He didn't want to be bothered, so he just raised up and shot the dog. And the prospector was killed that night by the outlaw. All of his fancy dreams done him no good. Why? He stilled the voice that was warning him. There's nobody can try to do anything. You kids would never be able to do anything wrong after being raised the way you are unless you feel something tell you not to do it. I don't never still that voice that's warning you. And always remember, accept that voice that said, follow me, and you'll always come out right. I believe you will. I got confidence in you. But just always remember, at Jesus, that voice is alive in the earth tonight. Just the same as every voice, every word we spoke is still alive. When that voice goes out on that ether wave of the air, see, you got a transmitter here that sends it out. You are the transmitter that sends it out. Now it takes a station to pick it up. And Jesus was a transmitter of God's Word. For He was the triunity of God manifested in one man. He was complete God and complete man. In the Trinity of God, the Trinity of the attributes of God as being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was represented in that one man, Jesus Christ. So there He was, the Word. And He was the transmitter that said, He that heareth my words and believeth on Him that sent me has eternal life. See? Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life. Now that words went out from a transmitter. He said one day, verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you said. Now, if you can just be the station to pick that up by a control inside of you by faith, it'll move you right into the cycle of God to the new birth and be born again. Then you'll always be in contact to hear that voice. They'll always warn you when danger's along, when things are wrong, going wrong. It'll always be a warning to you. And then instead of someday being like that rich young boy that we're speaking of, be a man like Apostle Peter, Paul, or somebody that won souls for Jesus Christ. You do that, kids. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, youth, men and women for tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow, we must train them, Lord. We feel that burden to train them, like there will be a tomorrow. If there is not, then today is the day. And then, Father, we know that no one is accepted in your sight. No flesh can glory, no education, although as good as these things may be, no good works, no religious institution, no psychology, no nothing can confirm God but the Holy Spirit. He's the instrument, God Himself, in the form of eternal life that can come to us as an individual. We're thankful for this. Truly is expressed when Peter made the confession. Jesus said to him, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You never learned it in a seminary. You never learned it in some school. It's a personal thing, something that each individual has to receive. You said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to overcome it. We're thankful for that, Lord. That voice is still alive tonight, and there are still posts, outposts, listening posts, receiving stations of faith that can accept it. We pray that each one of these children will receive that, Lord, in their hearts. And remember that not what they do to be good, but they, God does not judge us by what we do, but by what we have accepted. We are saved by our faith and not in our works. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that they'll catch the vision now and see and hear that great eternal invitation of come, follow me. May each one of them, Lord, turn aside from all the things of the world, this mortal, fringy life, as they hear tonight in their golden blonde hair, and some of them with their black hair and dark eyes and blue eyes, and sitting in their very best of that they'll ever be. And as the great writer said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not nigh, then thou shalt have no pleasure in them. How, Lord Jesus, you said to Peter, when you were young, you got up and went where you wanted to, but when you get old, someone packs you where you would not go. Let them remember, now is the day. This is the time. Granted, Father, I claim every one of them. From my own child here tonight to every child in here, I feel that you've put in my hands to watch them. I claim them all from Satan and from death to life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless you, kiddies. Really nice to say a few words to you, and I'll get back along with Billy. Fine kid. Appreciate you. But pray the Lord bless you. God bless you.